don't blame people for taking breaks on that shit, because that shit sucks. And I make a point of, like, looking at it. Mm-hmm. But it is an existential nightmare to be going through your scroll feed and just watching the atrocities of mankind.
Yeah.
In between horny posting.
Yeah.
And I, that can't be doing good things to my brain.
Well, speaking of the atrocities of mankind, hi and welcome to Blank Bodies, the Vampire, the Masquerade, V5, Tabletop Horror, and Werewolf Podcast. We're talking about the atrocity of mankind known as the apocalypse.
Oh, he's riding his bicycle backwards on his handlebars.
Holy shit.
Well, and he's got a baby in the bassinet, and his kid's riding a bike.
It's empty.
They don't know that. They could have...
There were three babies in that bassinet.
And they were doing...
cocaine.
Juggling.
Fat rails. Fat combo. Baby rails.
They were juggling while doing cocaine in the bassinet on the bike with the guy riding on the handlebars backwards. None of it sounds true now.
With no handlebars.
It
no
had handlebars. He was sitting on them.
Sorry, that song's just in my head now.
That's fair.
It's very good. Also, the Paper Plane song at the same time. That mashup actually works really well.
Hmm. but.
I wonder if he was riding a fixie.
It didn't look like it.
It did not look like it.
Okay. It looked like a Walmart-style, like, mm-hmm. road bike.
Okay.
Or, you know, like, mountain road bike.
Anyways, hi, welcome to show. That is Hunter over there.
I'm Hunter.
This one is John.
I'm Sarah, and we are talking, part two.
Yep.
New mechanics and rules.
Yep. So, last episode, we dive into some of the basic entry lore for Werewolf, and this week we're diving into some of the basic mechanics for you to, clear my throat, some of the basic rules and mechanics so that you can play this game. We are going to be skipping the very basics, such as how skills and dice pools work, and focus on the new mechanics for W5 Werewolf. If you're interested in, like, some of the basic nitty-gritty, one of our first episodes was all about D10 dice pools.
Yes.
And some of the others, a lot of the other systems that we've done whole episodes on about can be applicable to this,
Yeah, basically, TLDR, you take a stat and another stat, you slam that together, that is your dice pool, you roll them bones.
Boop, yep. Boop, boop.
Also, Hunter, do you need your throat spray? It's full of fluid.
Give me that fluid.
the throat spray meta continues.
I don't know what that means, but it tastes good.
Oh my god. Anyways, now that you're properly lubricated.
Yeah, so, yeah, if you're interested in some of the basics we didn't cover previous episodes, go check those out. Content warning, we're talking about math and maybe a little depression.
I like math.
One of those memes, that meme from The Office, can HR wants me to tell the difference between these two pictures? They're the same picture? That's what you just said there.
No, math is great. Math lets me do cool things.
You know, I've never seen The Office.
I don't blame you.
I have seen only a few episodes, but I've seen enough memes to, I think, understand the whole show.
Yeah, I have never watched The American Office. I've watched a couple episodes of The UK Office, and not Ricky Gervais's best work, which is not saying much.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I saw the original because I think it was on Adult Swim, and I remember being bored.
We're going to get so much flack.
We are, but it's like one of those, I think I tried to watch The UK Office because I had finished fucking like IT Crowd, and I was trying to find other things in that vein, and I was just like, this is not it.
Young Ones?
Yeah, that one's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good one. I was just not really watching TV anymore by the time it came out. I was that was when I was starting to bloom as a social person, so I just wasn't in the house. And then I was like 8 seasons deep, and then people are saying, you should watch it, it's good. And I was like, that's too much of a commitment, I'm never doing that.
Yeah. So, you say that, but then I circled back into It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
That show is very up and down. I did try and rewatch some of it while I was been working.
Mm-hmm.
There are some old episodes that are great and some that are just like, huh.
This did not age well.
Not even that it didn't age well, uncomfortable. Some it's just like, that did nothing for me.
Oh, that's fair.
That's just not funny.
It's a fine show, I guess. But anyway, we're not talking about television.
No,
we're talking about Werewolf. Anyway, this the source for today is all the W5 core book.
Cool.
So again, we're only talking about the core book here, no old content. That's next part three. We're going to talk about werewolf vampire crossover, some of the old lore. It'll be fun.
The werewolf veterans are just vibrating, waiting to judge us.
Oh, they can aim all your judgment at me. because I wrote these episodes, and my ADD brain will barely process anything you throw at me. It'll be fine for both of us. It'll be a purging feeling for you, and I'll just go, huh, anyway.
Very cathartic.
Yeah, I think we could have a symbiotic relationship like that.
Okay, so the first thing you've marked on the rules is rage.
Yeah, I think this is what werewolves are most known for. There was a whole series of books in the older editions called Rage Across, and those are just the places they went. So,
dude, the cover art for Rage Across Appalachia, though.
So good.
So fucking
that's the one with the werewolf banjo, playing banjo, werewolf. Right?
With, like, coveralls? Nope. Yeah. It's dope as fuck.
So good.
All right.
I think he's got, like, Appalachian grandpa glasses on, even. Fucking wacky.
Hell oh, yeah. The copy I have smells vaguely like moonshine.
Mine, I think I found in a dumpster, and it was all wet. So it's all, like, crinkled up and, like, mashed and nasty looking.
That's how
I think it's perfect.
That's how a werewolf would keep a book.
That's how it should be. Mine just smells like moonshine because we just spilled it on it. Several of my books smell like actual Appalachian moonshine because we tipped some that our roommate had brought up from when he visited family. Some of that smell is on there. So some of my books smell a little bit like apple pie moonshine.
That's sick.
Yeah. Anyways, continue
yeah.
on.
So Rage. In W5, Rage is a 5-dot track, and it's used as a resource. So you will have a certain amount or points in Rage, and you will spend those. But Rage can be spent to heal, shapeshift, and some other special cases can use it as well, including rites, which are similar to disciplines. We're not going to dive too deep into that this episode because there's so many. It's kind of like clan disciplines. It can be its own episode. But basically, to do those, you will be following this rage check thing, and then the thing that says happens, happens.
Is the rage capped at 5, you said?
Yes, we'll get to that. Okay. So, because there's nuance to that.
Ooh.
First of all, how do you get it? So rage is gained by suffering many forms of provocation. This includes pain, assault, emotional abuse, or other outside attacks on a guru.
So if you're in like a group of guru, if you have your own little pack there, and I need Sarah to have some more rage built up so we can go get in a fight, and she can be better at fighting. I can think of some like insults and just insult her. Kick her in the calf real hard.
So it's specific.
You're like, fuck you, you're a turd. And then she gets angrier.
So specifically.
Call me a capitalist, I fucking dare you.
It specifically has to be like.
Fucking bourgeoisie over there.
Actually. Actually insulting to them. And like, if they know what you're trying to do, it wouldn't work.
Okay.
Essentially. Gotcha. And another caveat there for people who are trying to farm rage is that once a fight starts, most attacks will not provide more rage. So you get one when the fight starts, and that's it.
Mm.
Unless something specifically cruel or otherwise narratively interesting happens for the ST to declare you gain more, once a fight starts, you're at that level. You're not going to just... You two guys won't just punch each other and, like,
forever.
Top their rage out forever.
Okay,
so
my brain is immediately going to... there's a creator on TikTok named Kyle Prue. He does a series of... That's called Things You Can Say to Piss Off Men. So I feel like if you want to just have zingers and you're not somebody who's good at them, you can go find the series. And there's just tons of things that you could say that just cause deep emotional damage. In ways that you're just, like, so oddly specific. Just, I can't remember if this comes from him or not, but one of my personal favorites is a guy is just being kind of pedantic, and I want to, like, knock him down a peg. Just be like, does your father hug you?
Hell yeah. I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so. Or a father figure of some sort.
That's the main way to gain rage. You can also gain rage through some rites, and scene-lying activities can also provide a point. So... Rites usually cost a rage from the person performing it, but the rest of the group can gain more. So you're kind of trading your rage to give it to the rest of your pack. So
you're like a bard with a buff spell. You're using your spell slot to
There are literally werewolf bards, but when we do once we figure out how to do the tribes, we can dive into that a little bit more.
Okay.
So also any scene, any activity that you can get into that lasts a scene can also give you a point. So if you go and start a bar fight, for example, you can easily get like a point of rage by starting a fight with someone or something. You still only get that 1 point, and you might not have to actually roll the dice because it's a narrative game. It's like, yeah, you're a werewolf. You can beat this dude's ass if you want.
Right.
Do you ever get so frustrated you just rage clean your apartment? Because I've done that several times. Would that count?
Maybe. I feel like that would lower your rage because you're doing it to calm yourself down.
Yeah. I would say...
But you're also doing the bar fight to calm yourself down.
Hmm. But the bar fight would create a more adrenaline and like the fight, like rage
chemistry
in your brain.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking the bar fight would calm you down. It's pepping you up.
Right.
Yeah, maybe. You can kind of... This might just be a gendered rage thing.
Maybe.
We could delve into later. But dear God, have I gotten super fucking pissed and just deep cleaned things just because I'm like, look, one, this needs to get done anyways, and the amount of disrespect I've had to deal with up until this point. It's either I do this or I start stabbing people. But, you know, that's... We can go on. I'm just curious what kind of anger activities could count towards this that isn't necessarily...
It would depend
a
on
street fight.
That was just an example given. Okay. But there's also one more way to gain rage.
Uh-oh.
And I would say it's the most iconic. Once per night, you can howl at the moon and you gain 1 dot of rage.
Oh my God.
This one is specifically important and we'll get into why in a little bit.
I know you said howl at the moon, but my brain is playing. So how many of you have seen The Howling 2?
I love that movie. Steerba Werewolf Bitch.
Yeah, that movie's fucking great. But this that end credits bit where they just replay the money shot of her ripping her shirt off
over and over again.
It's so good.
It's so good.
All right, so you can also lose rage. Mm. So to lose rage, you use abilities that require rage. You get your supernatural healing, your shape-shifting, and rites, like I mentioned earlier. When these abilities are used, a guru does a rage check. For each point of rage used, a guru rolls a d10. 6 and up, they keep the point. 5 and below, they lose a point.
Oh, so it's kind of akin to the hunger system.
Yeah, it's similar to the hunger system. It's just got some little tweaks to it.
Okay.
But it is cool. So, unfortunately, you can go to 0 rage. And this is when you lose the wolf. Ooh. If a guru hits rage 0, they lose touch with their inner wolf. They cannot use any abilities requiring rage. They cannot shift to a new form and cannot stay in any supernatural shape. We talked about it in the last episode. We'll talk about it a little more. There are 2 non-supernatural states and 3 supernatural states.
Mm-hmm.
So the non-supernaturals are human and wolf. So you can't be anything but human or wolf at rage 0, and you're stuck in that form.
Oh my
so
God.
If you're a
until you get more rage.
Yes.
So you just have to, like, if you're stuck as a wolf and you find yourself, you see a fucking, I don't know, deforester, you'd be pissed.
Actually, no.
Because you're a wolf.
That's fair, but no, that's not how that would work. Because when you lose the wolf at 0, and I mentioned this earlier, you can only gain rage again by howling at the moon. So once you're at 0, you have lost, it's like losing contact with your beast almost.
Right.
So you don't feel that anger at all until you reconnect by howling at Luna.
Gotcha.
Which is another reason why some people, we talked about it last episode, why some people might be starting to worship her instead of Gaia.
Right.
Because is it really coming from Gaia? If that's at where I'm getting everything? Or is Gaia dead and Luna's the only one left? Mechanics equal questions in the lore.
Just
anyway.
Yeah. That backs up my theory. Because... Mm-hmm. Maybe if Luna is Gaia's sister, Gaia died, Luna wants, like, revenge on the 3 W's, so boom, werewolves.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Gaia's dead, and it's because they split into the 3 W's when they became out of harmony. And then the elements were out of harmony, and the Fire Nation attacked.
But the Fire Nation is Pentex and the vampires. So let's talk a little bit about the last, again, like hunger. We're talking about rage dice. So for each dot of rage a guru possesses, they replace a die in any pool they roll with a rage dice, just like a hunger die.
Mm-hmm.
These are represented by a different colored die. And then I put a note like hunger in V5. Mm. But yeah, we just said that. Any rage that rolls a 1 or 2 is considered brutal. A single 1 does nothing. But if you roll 2 or more, it immediately forces a brutal outcome. So they don't pair like hunger die, but it's like if 2 or more, period. Regardless of what the other die in the pool roll, any non-violent action attempted, the guru fails in a violent and destructive fashion. So, like, say you're trying to pick a lock, and you hit a brutal outcome, you could get 5 successes, but 2 ones on a rage die. You will, out of anger, break the lock and lock yourself out of the door.
Okay, so...
Or kick open the door if you were trying to be stealthy.
Yeah.
You just, instead of being able to pick it and be quiet, you just...
Bust through the door.
You just punch the doorknob out.
I believe it's ST's choice, but I would, like, talk with my player, like, so do you want to break the lock and you have to find another way in? Or do you want to bust the door open and there goes your stealthy entrance?
Yeah. So this is basically...
Yeah, I'll give the option. That's good.
This would be the equivalent of doing a messy crit, except instead of getting tens that spool up, it's 2, like, beast fail skull die.
Yeah.
That doesn't add any kind of dice modifier, right?
Not yet.
Okay.
So here's where the modifiers come in.
Oh, okay.
Any action that pool that's attempting violent and destructive, if you get a brutal outcome, it gains 4 additional successes. So if you're trying to be destructive and violent and you get a brutal outcome, that those 2 turns into 4.
Oh,
you plus any successes you have. If you're trying to do something non-violent and you get a brutal outcome, fail violently.
I see.
Oh, okay.
So it really ties into
what you're actually doing.
Yeah. I think it's really thematic of the werewolves themselves. I really like it.
Okay.
So that's like you're trying to pick the lock, you decide, you smash the lock, you get into the house. You're trying to intimidate someone, and you get it. And instead of just being, like, super scary, you, like, hit their hand with a hammer.
Yeah.
And that succeeds or helps you succeed the intimidation.
So basically, you getting a messy crit or bestial failure in comparison is context-dependent.
Cool.
Where vampires don't get context-dependent, it is just... You either do the thing or you don't. Get fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, it makes them terrifying in combat because they still get crits on tens. So, like everyone else. So, you can get 2 tens, turns into 4 successes.
Mm-hmm.
Also, any ones or twos pair into 4 successes.
Jesus Christ.
So, the math is a little off because if you get 4 twos or ones, that still only counts as 4 successes.
Mm-hmm.
But that can make your dice pool... huge because there's 3 numbers that can turn into crits in your pool now.
Yeah.
So
damn.
Like when I was playing, I one shot another werewolf just because my pool like exploded.
Right.
Okay, so we're just gonna run this. I'm sorry everyone, we're having Sarah crunching math time. Okay, so say the scenario is I'm punching this guy in the face. I have the pool of 6, half of it is rage dice.
Yes.
I get on the non-rage dice, I get 2 tens.
2 tens.
On the rage dice, I get 2 ones.
2 ones. So you'd get a success for each of the tens.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be 2.
Yes.
Then the regular crits from...
So the 2 tens crit.
Yes.
So that'll 4. Explode up into 4.
That'd be 4. And then the 2 would turn into 4.
The 2 ones give a bonus 4?
The 2 ones count as 4.
As
two, any 2 or more. So if you had 3 rage dice that were 1s, you would still get 4.
Okay.
So no matter what, 2 or more always turns into 4. So that would be 8, actually.
So that'd be 8 total successes to punch that guy in the face.
Yeah.
Okay, so same dice scenario, same number layout. 2 tens on normal dice, 2 ones on the rage dice. But I was trying to pick a flower.
You would destroy the flower.
I would destroy the garden. But
destroy the garden. The dice would not matter.
The dice would not matter at all at that point.
No.
Okay.
You would just ignore the other die in a failure.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if the amount of successes of the rolls would gauge how much destruction you end up doing.
No. As an ST, you could do something like that, or you could let them do less destruction if they're going to succeed really well.
Mm-hmm.
As written, though, no.
Okay.
As written, it's just a straight up... Yeah, so that's how rage dice work. They are terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Because rage dice can also be in any form. So you could be in a human form and still have that explosion of dice like that.
Fuck. So, like, you're trying to do something violent and you're in a human form, you can still do, like, Kronos levels of damage?
No, but we'll get to what happens when you go into Kronos form.
Okay.
Because it would be more.
Well, right. I just was... Okay.
Yes,
maybe
but yes.
Was, maybe let's I go went
back.
Too far.
Yeah, let's cycle back to the example that I was saying. So you had those 8 successes, you're in your human form, and you're punching a guy in the face. So that counts as 8 successes?
Yes.
Is this 8 successes at, like, normal human strength, or because you are a supernatural and it is a messy or a brutal success, is it like you punch him and his jaw just comes off?
It would,
kind of like superhuman.
No, if you're punching someone, it would be regular punching damage. But it's such an extreme amount of damage that you could still probably like damn near dislocate someone's jaw in a single swing or kill them.
The margin...
I mean, people die in real life fist fights all the time.
For
so
sure.
like,
for sure.
Yeah, because the margin on that, on average, because I think an average success is like 3 successes. So that's a 5 margin.
Yeah.
Of damage, which if your average human is like 5H, you've knocked all their superficial and you've knocked that guy into ag, so there's a chance that you could just roll on the critical injury table, at least if they have that in Werewolf. I don't know.
I believe they did. I actually didn't look for
that. Okay, we can double check that, but if you're...
I believe it does because I mentioned something similar later.
I have pre-ordered the Werewolf Storyteller screen thing.
Nice.
So we can confirm later on, but the Storyteller screen for Vampire has a critical injury table, which is super nice.
We should definitely talk about that in an episode that we're not planning soon.
Hell yeah.
Because that's something I don't see used very often.
Mm.
The critical injury table.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, there will be damage.
Hoo-hoo.
Not emotional this time.
All right. So we've talked about it a lot. Mm-hmm. I think it's time to talk about what werewolves do. Shapeshifting.
Yes.
All right. So werewolf can surprisingly change forms.
What?
Hold on. Run that back.
Man-wolf turn big. Hey.
Their
the
wolf.
Fuck?
Their castle.
Their wolf. So there are 5 forms a werewolf can take. I've hinted at this a couple times already, but they have special names. I find them kind of confusing for new players. If you buy the dice set, it comes with cards that has a picture of all of them that you can set in front of you and remember what form you're in,
which is very helpful.
You can also write it down somewhere that's visible for everyone. There's a lot of options. I think it's worth keeping track because these are 5 made-up words, and if you're not deep into the game, it gets kind of confusing.
Mm-hmm.
But the 5 forms are Hamid, which is an average human. You're a person.
That's not too confusing.
We are all in Hamid form right now.
Homie.
That's easy. Yeah.
Homie, strong homie. Together.
Yes. 8 strong together. Then you have Glabro or near human. And I like to compare it to like Teen Wolf. Like you're still mostly human shaped. You're just kind of hairy, kind of fuzzy.
Lon Chaney Wolfman.
Yeah.
You're like, bro.
Yeah.
Bruh.
And then. Glabro. Then we have Krynos. This is the de facto idea of a werewolf. This is what they call their war form. This is the giant, hulking, drooling, hairy death tank machine.
I would say the werewolf transformation for Hugh Jackman and Van Helsing is probably like the prime Krynos.
That's a big
example.
One.
I know the Underworld, I think, has pretty Krynos adjacent.
Yeah, they do too.
It's almost like they ripped off the game system for that movie franchise.
Basically, newer werewolf movies are usually Krynos. Older werewolf movies are basically Glabro. That's a good way to remember that.
What would you put dog soldiers in?
Krynos. Yeah.
That's what I would think. They were just not that hairy.
That's fair.
Yeah. They're kind of gangly looking with their fur.
Their wolf form might be more akin to... Oh, fuck, what is it? That breed of dog that they have in Mexico that's, like, not very furry, but they look like Anubis-y kind of dogs.
Something.
I don't remember what they're called. They look cool as fuck.
I know, yeah, they are very cool looking.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. And then we have Hispo, which is, like, the dire wolf. And
that's
a big ass wolf.
This is
big ass dog.
The werewolf transformations you get in Twilight.
Yes. Yeah, this is Twilight.
Where it's just a big fucking wolf.
Yeah.
You're just like, wolves are big. If you're even bigger, what the fuck?
You're a big, big wolf.
Yeah.
That's like the size of a small car kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Subaru.
Oh,
God damn it.
And then the last one is Lupus, or you're a wolf.
You're just a regular wolf.
Look at that dog. Yeah.
This is the other end of the non-supernatural forms.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I want to mention as we're talking about this is if you're your normal state is a human, mm-hmm. and you're switched to a wolf, when you lose your rage, you stay a wolf. You don't turn back to human. You stay in your current non-supernatural form. As an ST, mm-hmm. you could argue that if they were in a direwolf form, they would turn into wolf and not human if that was their base.
Mm-hmm.
Even if their human was their base. They're
much closer to wolf.
And that form. Keep it interesting. There may be something that contends with that later in the book, but in the section about this, it didn't specifically say. And some of the others, it does say you specifically go back to your natural state, natural mm-hmm. form. So for this, I would keep it narratively interesting. Maybe ask the player if they're okay with that happening. But
I'm just saying, the comedy of errors of just your so you're a guru, you have a job, a day job, working 9 to 5, single mom who works 2 jobs. And you run out of rage, but you get stuck in regular ass wolf form, and you're just like, I literally can't call in because the pause, like, just God, just you can't call in wolf.
See,
like, oh my God, it's like I'm out of sick days. I'm out of sick days. I don't have PTO.
It's probably pretty hard for a werewolf to keep a job in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just fuck, man.
Like, that is a funny scenario, but also, I feel like they aren't keeping jobs.
Eh.
And not in the bad economy kind of way, but, like, from an outside perspective, like...
Like the I punched my boss in the face today kind of way.
They're either I punched my boss in the face today, or the boss just thinks that they're, like, hungover and not showing up all the time.
Yeah.
You come in, all beat up, you're doing drugs, we can't have that in the office.
Oh, right. Fight Club.
And then they punch them. Yeah.
Fight Club.
Yeah.
You know, I like the scenario of there's a werewolf who's gotten down to rage 0 in wolf form and managed to stay there and has lived a peaceful wolf life somewhere. And then fucking here comes this fucking pack saying, hey there, snake, we got to get you out of retirement. Come howl at the moon with us.
You're just like, no. You have to explain to your wolf spouse that they're like, oh, come on, we're doing a family thing. And they're like, howling at the moon together. Right. And you're like, no, I can't go back there. I have to pay taxes there.
So let's talk about how these forms work a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, each form has its own benefits and minuses. I'm not going to go over all of them because there's a lot. There's a nice cheat sheet in the book if you want to go over it. But 5 is a lot to try and memorize. So I definitely recommend you keeping that page as a cheat sheet around. You're going to need it.
Put a tab.
Even if I read through them all, you would still need to reference this because there are 5 forms with different effects to remember.
Mm-hmm.
But so for instance, the human Hamid form, you are a human. You're basically a human with some extra abilities, but you get all of its average benefits and weaknesses. But if you're in Krynos form, the deadly and unyielding war form, you take a +4 to all physical tests. You get bonus health. You get claws that do +3 damage and more.
Okay. Is the claws like ag damage?
I believe so.
Shit. Okay. When it says +4 to all physical tests, does that mean
+4 die?
+4 die. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure. It was just a flat
+4 successes.
Yeah, because like certain weapons have different success bonuses. So you roll the pool like normal, and then like a shotgun gives you a +4.
Mm-hmm. The claws, I believe, give you a +3. I think your bite gets a +2 for ag damage, and then you get a +4 base die to roll.
This is fucking bullshit.
Wild.
Yeah. So imagine that example you did earlier.
Yeah.
Where you had 2 brutal die,
yeah.
2 tens.
So the dice pool, the base dice pool would be 6, but because you're in Krynos, the pool goes from 6 to 10.
Yes, you'd be rolling 4 additional dice, and say you're using your claws. So whatever those 4 dice would, any successes you'd get out of that, you would add. Yeah. And then you would add a +3 just for using your claws.
Oh, Jesus. All right. So the pool goes from 6 to 10. Let's say you got the 2 tens and then the 2 ones. So that would be 8 successes. And then you get to add 3 for the claws. Fuck.
So without even getting any successes on your bonus die, you've hit what?
That's 11.
11?
That's 11 successes.
You tried to punch this guy in the face and you just ripped his jaw out, including his spinal cord.
What?
Now, this gets scary, too, but we'll get into that in a second. Scarier.
It's already scary.
For the player, not just scary for you, for other people.
Yeah, I appreciate you doing the math breakdown with me as we're going, because I was just like, okay, worst case scenario, what the fuck am I looking at? Jesus fuck Christ.
Yes. Yeah. A guru in Krynos form also cannot speak more than single grunted words, often hard to understand. They auto-fail any non-intimidation social tests and all stealth tests.
They're too big.
And they take aggravated damage one per round for even touching silver. So if you get stabbed with a silver dagger, each round it's in you, you will be taking aggravated damage. You will take aggravated damage trying to remove it from yourself.
Because you have to touch it.
Yes.
Fuck.
So.
Fuck it. I have participated in a multi-splat World of Darkness game, and the amount of people that have given me shit for just being like, why do you keep silver on you? I'm like, oh, trust me.
It matters.
It's like, look, I am very small, and I am going to take every nasty advantage I can, because otherwise I'm going to fucking die.
Get that silver dust.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So.
I'll Dale Gribble the silver at a werewolf. I don't give a fuck.
So to actually shift.
$100. Worth it. My life.
Okay, so to actually shift, you take a rage test again, like we talked about earlier, and it's based on the cost of each form. So Hamid and Lupus are free. So you can always switch to those for free. You don't need to take a test.
You can switch between Humid and regular Wolf.
Yes.
Okay.
Those are free. Unless you're at rage zero, then you cannot shift at all.
Okay.
But otherwise, you're free. You don't have to worry about rolling a test. You can just shift back to being a person, shift to being a wolf. Don't worry about the dice pool. Mm-hmm. Then the in-betweens, Glabro and Hispo. So those are
Wolfman,
Teen Wolf and Dire Wolf. Yeah, those.
Teen Wolf and Twilight Wolf.
Yeah. Those are one. Those cost one, so you do one rage test. Mm-hmm. And then Krynos requires a two. So you'd be rolling two rage die. Two rage tests.
War dogs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Two. Okay.
So not only that, but if the shift test causes the player to lose their last rage dot, the shift fails and they lose the wolf. So they are either stuck in their form they're in, or they shift to a non-supernatural form and lose the wolf until they can howl at the moon for the first time on a night next.
Okay. Hmm. So just running through the scenario of spending points.
Yes.
So let's say you're in human form, you're Homid, and you're like, okay, I'm doing gods, and you decide, all right, cool, I need my teen wolf form. So you're going to spend the one rage, roll your pool.
I really got to make this basket, so I'm going to slam dunk it.
Yeah, So let's say things go tits up at the university basketball game.
Okay.
And you need to boast yourself up from teen wolf to Hugh Jackman wolf.
Mm.
And you have to spend another. Technically, you'd have to spend another two.
You would have to roll another two. To change to Krynos, it's always a two rage test, no matter what you're switching from.
So when you say it's a two rage test, are you rolling twice, or are you just spending the two rage?
From my reading of it, you would roll twice.
Okay.
Cool. Okay.
Rolling a single die, so you would roll two dice.
Okay.
And if you got a seven and a two, you'd keep one, lose one.
Okay, so the rage test is kind of akin to a rouse check where you roll the one die.
Yeah, but you would roll one for each test being taken.
And if you pass, you keep your rage rating the way it is. If you fail, it goes down.
Yeah, or somewhere in between. If you're rolling for two, you can lose one, keep one.
Okay.
That's my reading of it. If someone else knows exactly, correct me.
If we are misinterpreting this, correct us.
I did find some of the rules a little vague, so having verification of my reading on this would be nice. Yeah.
Okay.
Because if not, I'll do a follow-up and, fix this.
Well, I'm trying to kind of parse the rules through Vampire, because, one, we are primarily a VTM podcast, and this is just kind of what we as people, and I would assume ergo our audience, would understand. So having those analogies, I think, helps. And I would hope, because it seems, from my understanding of the meta 5th ed World of Darkness, they're trying to make it multi-splat nicer.
Yeah.
So having the mechanics be kind of analogous between each other is kind of nice.
Because
I would love to be able to run multi-splat games. But goddamn it would suck if the mechanics were, too different from each other. And I'm basically like, hey, guys, I have to literally run four different games at the exact same time for you guys to do a party that is a vampire, a werewolf, a changeling, and a mage.
Yeah, I think it'd be really easy for you to remember this as a rouse check.
Yeah, basically. So rage check, rouse check are roughly the same.
Yeah.
Perfect.
If trying to shift, you hit zero, shift fails, you drop to a non-supernatural form if you weren't in one.
Mm-hmm.
If you succeed, they must spend the cost for each round spent in that form beyond the first.
Okay.
So say you switch to a one dot like Glabro. You shift in one. The first round you shift. You take your rage test. Your rage is affected by what you roll. And then the second and every one after that, you just straight up spend one to stay in that form.
Oh, okay.
That's the way I read it. It says you spend. It doesn't say you test. It said specifically said you spend. Okay. So I believe you just event start. I think it's to keep people from
being in the form for fuck ever.
Yeah, you can't live your life as a Krynos.
Right.
Could you imagine?
No.
You file your taxes.
You would.
The desk.
I was imagining somebody in Krynos working at a like an old timey grocery store with a little apron with a little fruit stand.
Oh, that.
A Krynos looking at someone saying, "Sir, this is a Denny's." That is a crazy scene.
Yeah. That is.
So being in an Arby's would allow him to have the rage.
Well, he couldn't
maintain the fort.
He couldn't say that many words. He would just look at someone and say, Denny.
Pancake.
All right. So.
Roast beef. Oh, roast beef is two words. He couldn't say that.
Beef. Beef.
It gets worse, though.
No. Okay, go on.
So in Krynos form specifically, a Garuma spend a willpower for every round they don't kill something to stay in form.
Fuck.
Or they frenzy. Mm. We'll talk about frenzying for a while, but if you go in Krynos form and you don't kill something every turn, you frenzy.
Which time's a little wibbly wobbly in World of Darkness, but a turn is roughly 6 seconds, I think is a good kind of baseline, 6 to 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So if you're not
murdering all the time.
If you're not chain killing.
Yeah.
This is why the Krynos form is terrifying, like for you and
everyone involved. Fuck.
Not only that, when you leave Krynos, rage is always dropped to one. The wording on this says reduced, so an ST may rule a Krynos form who hits zero loses a wolf. I personally would determine that by what is more narratively interesting in the moment, but it says it is reduced to one. So if you have 5 rage, shift, spend 2 and you're at 3, and then shift back, it would drop to 1.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it's written. Personally, it depends on what's going on in the scene. It is, there's narrative interest in saying, well, you were at zero, you did this big thing, and now you're stuck as a human for the night. Unless someone performs a rite or you haven't howled at the wolf yet, you're just done for the night. Mm-hmm. It's also, you know, in the movies where someone goes wolf form and then they pass out and find themselves waking up. There's a lot of ways you could make this interesting. Mm-hmm. So there's some fun you can have there. The wording on that specifically said reduced. So make of that what you will.
Right.
Cool.
Let's see. What do we got next?
I believe it's frenzy, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
6 seconds. So what happens if you aren't able to actually kill something in your turn? What if you've caused, like, massive, massive damage? What if you, like, you know...
You spend a willpower.
To not...
Or you go into a frenzy.
Is it... Okay, so when you're spending the willpower, is it superficial willpower or aggravated willpower?
I believe it's like when you spend willpower in Vampire. So you're not taking damage.
Oh, it's superficial.
You're, yeah.
Okay.
It is. Cool, cool, cool. So, yeah. Okay.
That's not as like, yeah, fuck. Because I was like, oh, if geez. I was like, oh, if that's if you're taking aggravated willpower damage, because that's so hard to heal in general.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe so. Although werewolves are better at healing things in general than vampires.
Yeah,
they have like a built-in healing. Mm-hmm. But no, I believe you're basically just spending it. You're not damaging that slot.
Okay.
However you want to look at it. But so let's talk about frenzy, because this is where things really go overboard.
No.
If you think things weren't bad yet. So frenzy is the blind rage of the guru's nature being released. This can happen from voluntarily or accidentally failing to spend a willpower in Krynos form after not getting a kill. So if you have 0 willpower, you're in Krynos form, you don't kill something, you frenzy.
Yeah.
You can also say you got full willpower, you're in Krynos form, you don't kill something, I want to frenzy. You can just declare that you frenzy, and you do it. So you have the option to say, let's go for it.
Today's the day.
I woke up, and I am choosing violence.
Yeah.
Of the utmost degree.
Some extreme situations can also cause you to frenzy, such as a touchstone being harmed or put in extreme danger. A player can also you can always voluntarily do it or take a willpower test to resist. So even if you're not in Krynos form, you still do the willpower.
You can just decide.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of, I was thinking, man, no wonder why, like, vampires are so fucking scared of werewolves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they will literally tear them apart. Get it? Yeah, makes sense. And then I just thought with this, But then again, like, a werewolf could totally, a vampire could totally just slowly ruin a werewolf's life until they frenzy hanging out with their family.
Mm-hmm.
And then being like, when they wake up, being like, hey, by the way, remember that time you made me mad? That's your family.
I can keep doing this.
That could cause them, I can do this forever. That reveal could also cause them to frenzy, though.
Right. Fucking wild.
See, this is why I put all these points into celerity.
Yeah, right.
Goodbye, and it's gone.
You a bitch. Poof.
Okay, so here's where it gets fun. Here's where it gets fun. So when the frenzy hits, it's on. That werewolf, that vampire probably thought he was really smart mm-hmm. until this moment.
Yeah.
Little did he know that the Doom soundtrack was about to kick in.
Because a frenzying Garou immediately shifts to Krynos form, if not already in it, and immediately goes to Rage 5.
No!
Which is
bad news bears.
Yeah.
So they, which means they get the round they shift.
Mm-hmm.
Next round two brings them to three. Next round two brings them to one. Next round, so they get four rounds in Krynos form of combat.
And that's if they don't use any powers while.
And that's if they fail. That's if they fail the raid.
Everyone.
Yeah. Well, you don't test on future ones, but still.
Yeah, that first one. Oh, so yeah, it's a okay. So.
Yeah, and you don't test on the first one if you're shifting. I believe my reading of it, if you're in regular form, you frenzy, you don't test the cost like you would normally. You're just doing it and you go to five.
Yeah.
Because the shifting you to five overcomes any tests you would need to take.
Right.
So not only do they shift, they ignore all but the most extreme impairments like missing a limb. But say you have a limp, not anymore.
Right.
You literally have to like be missing body parts for them to affect you, like those critical damage you were talking about earlier.
Fucking Dead Space logic.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, I have to cut the limbs off. That is the only way.
Oh, and also that vampire is double fucked because they immediately gain a 3-dot bonus to resist mental gifts from other werewolf and vampiric powers.
Wait, vampire powers specifically?
Yeah, it specifically says mental vampiric powers.
Damn.
Oh yeah, don't bother. Why would you
keep that celerity going?
Yeah.
You got a 3-dot in celerity. You can blink. How fast is Krynos?
This is one of the handful of times Fortitude is not going to save you.
Yeah, not only that, but I don't know how much celerity is going to help, because remember, they get a +4 to all physical tests. So that means they're 4 dice quicker.
Celerity at 3 dots, though, you can blink like 50 yards.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's your rating in celerity times 5, so 25 yards if you're at 5 celerity or something like that.
Okay.
It's wild distances when you get high celerity.
That's crazy. Also, I don't know how far the werewolf would be behind, though.
Okay.
I mean,
so
you'd escape, but it would still be terrifying.
Okay. Terrible, great combo. This would probably be mostly for the Bane Hakim.
Okay.
All right. So werewolf goes into Krynos, and you have to go, oh, fuck, I got to dip. You don't need to outrun the Garou. You just need to get out of his line of sight because you can zip around a corner and obfuscate.
Yep.
But because of what it said with the 3-dot bonus, you're obfuscated. You're still running.
Listening.
Would the Garou, because obfuscate is technically a mental ability, get the bonus die to see you?
They might get the, but I might, you might I, rule
I might
that.
Rule, I might rule that, yeah.
That they would be able to see through the obfuscate.
They have a chance to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that basically is giving them the equivalent of Auspex. Okay. Okay, yeah. No,
weird.
It's doable, but like not great.
I would like Auspex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So holy shit. Okay.
So it's like, it might, this plan might work, but there's a chance you are still fucked.
Okay, mail it to them.
What do you mean mail it to them?
Mail it to them with Polaroids of their dead family, being like, remember the time you upset me? And then they can tear up their own house. Who cares?
Yeah.
Well, they'll wake up in their family's torn apart house.
Here's the worst one.
Poor guy just rages.
Schedule.
Huh?
Schedule. To find out where they're working, schedule a flower delivery and have the letter tucked in with the flowers of the Polaroids of the family. And just be like, hey, member?
Member?
Oh, no. Oh, okay.
Anyways, continue on. I'm so
sorry. No, it just gets more terrifying.
Oh, it gets worse.
So,
perfect.
In Frenzy, you cannot spend any willpower whatsoever. You can't, not to reroll die, anything. You can't do it. And you must continue to act in a violent frenzy. If you do not want to, you can volunteer your character to the ST to take over control if you're not comfortable.
Okay, so it's kind of like riding the wave.
Yeah, a little bit.
Or like when a vampire frenzies.
Yeah.
Technically, when you're frenzying, you give control to the ST, but you can ride the wave and kind of control it yourself, mm-hmm. but you still have to be doing the thing.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite here, where normally you would ride it, but you can voluntarily give the characters control over.
Oh, okay.
The frenzy does not end until everything that is perceived as a threat is dealt with, whether knocked out or dead. That could include other pack members who are in Krynos form at the time, could be seen as a threat.
Anyone who's trying to hold you back from hurting someone.
Yeah, is could a be threat. Seen as a threat. That's really up to ST and what's comfy at your table, but... Let's just say.
I mean, in that, I would count that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking our poor little bot, Hakim, is like, I have to outlast a Krynos for roughly a minute.
Yeah.
You're like, I have to, between celerity and obfuscate, avoid duck and weave for a minute solid. Because then they go to zero, and then they're just, boop.
Then they go to sleep or whatever they do.
Also, reading this, I misspoke a little bit because it's, I don't know if, I need to check. If, yes, it does. Okay, never mind. But, yeah, so the frenzy doesn't end. They must pass a difficulty 2 willpower test or continue frenzying anyway. So no. Even if you kill anything, you fail a willpower test, you're still frenzying.
So you're just now...
You're just like, I've killed everything, and now you're just like, guess I keep running.
Yeah.
You've killed all the threats if you're in a group. You have your friends with you. Now they are the threats, whether they were or weren't.
Oh, no, you just got... You just.
Is it just like, I don't have anything else to kill. I guess it's you now?
Just kill people, break things, general destruction. There are 3 other ways a frenzy can end.
I just, my brain immediately goes to, like, it's Forrest Gump, and then I just kept running.
So if they drop to Rage 0, yes. The frenzy ends.
Okay.
And I would assume they shift down in any of these situations, yeah. But... If they are the only thing left standing in the room, only thing left standing alive or conscious, the frenzy ends. Or if the scene ends, if the ST declares the scene over, you don't start the next scene in a frenzy.
Right.
Oh, God. The Daredevil fight scene with Charlie Day in the hallway. Just last man standing.
Yes. Actually, okay, it specifically says here.
Oh.
So what I said earlier is true, but... At the end of a frenzy, Guru go to Rage 0.
Okay.
They lose the wolf, and they revert to their natural form.
Okay.
So that's Hamid or Lupus, human or wolf. That's the only time I said it, where earlier I said you couldn't be in a supernatural form when you lose the wolf. Mm-hmm. You would revert to one or the other. This one specifically says you revert to their natural form. So I assume that's the form you were born in.
Yeah.
So if you're a wolf born, you turn into wolf, human. Whereas I think the other, you can get stuck as the opposite. Okay. So you could get stuck as a human if you were born as a wolf or vice versa. This, you always go back to your natural form.
Okay.
This is kind of like in the movies where the werewolf is found naked in the lawn.
Right.
They're in the zoo and they have to steal a child's bunch of balloons.
Though they're not specifically unconscious. It doesn't say anything like that. You could play that as you will at your table. Mm-hmm. But
do they come to remembering what they've done?
Usually, yeah. I would say they have full remembrance. I didn't see anything about you not remembering what happens in Krynos or during a frenzy. So
in that kind of aspect, it would be like when people are talking about doing things in like almost a fugue state where it's like, I was watching this happen almost.
You could describe it like that. I think that would be interesting to let your player kind of decide that, or like just a blind rage, or because like you could totally kill your packmates the way this is written. You could kill your packmates and then wake up and be back to normal and be like, oh fuck,
right,
time to get a bucket and a mop,
womp womp. Grab a bucket for this wet ass posse
because they're dead.
I think it would be fun to play a character who doesn't remember what happens when they're in Krynos form, but that would be, from what I've seen in the book, would have to be voluntary. There could be some things that let you do that in system. I didn't see any off the top of my dome, but
that might be a table discussion thing, because I'm kind of against it, because I think it takes away player responsibility and agency and managing themselves is kind of how I'm like.
It takes away character agency, but the player does something that still fucks over the other players.
Yeah.
People are still going to be mad, and they're still going to be responsible for it. I think the more interesting thing there is for that to happen and the character being the only one who's around for what's happening, mm-hmm. and them not remembering either.
So then having to piece together.
Yeah.
Okay, happened. Yeah, that could be interesting. It it just kind of falls for me in that weird narrative, character responsibility on their actions and the way that sometimes people like to say that diablerie is just a thing you can do in a frenzy and you have no control over it. And I'm like, no, no.
I think your choice of words there is very important, though, because this is quite literally a frenzy, and you often do not have a choice in what you're doing. Yeah. You have to kill and destroy every round or attempt to, at least while in a frenzy.
And so that's kind of one of those, like, yeah, I'd have to think about it.
Thematically, for me, I think it is about losing agency. The horror is in the loss of the agency, not in the, I got to do all this cool shit and then walk away scot-free. It's like, oh, fuck, I just did this, and I had no say in myself doing it. I think a frenzy in itself is the loss of agency.
Yeah.
So
I kind of see where you're coming from, where it's like, being able to say, like, whoops, I don't remember, gives room for a player to just do some absolutely disgusting, heinous shit and then be like, womp, womp.
It's like, I couldn't control myself. Whoopsie poodle.
Right.
Yeah, that's the portion of it where
I don't know if I would play with that person or if I would just have to have a conversation with them about that, because then that's just like a table respect thing. As far as like interesting story goes, I think it could be either way. I think you have to know your players, and if you have new players, maybe question that, but I think it could be really interesting.
Oh yeah, no. Narratively,
the scene in every werewolf movie where the guy wakes up in a room full of viscera and is like,
whoa! And is having to like reverse. Yeah, some of that could be really interesting. I'm also just coming at this from the one, I've had to deal with a bunch of fuck ass players in the past. Mm-hmm. And two, we are existing in an interesting times in the TTRPG community space where people are starting to abandon D&D and D&D-esque games. And if people were to shift from that into a werewolf game, I am worried there's might be some min-maxy lolcow weirdness where people are not going to understand the narrative weight of what they're doing with werewolf. Mm-hmm. And we'll try to do some weird, like, I can just slaughter everyone? Cool.
I'm
going to be a murder hobo.
To me, that feels like more of a failing of the player and potentially the ST for allowing that to happen, and less a failure of the system or the rules. I mean, the same thing happens in D&D. If you're just like, we're just going to kill everyone. There's this village that needs our help. We're going to kill everyone and take their stuff. And then we have food for our trip. Like, if you're an ST that's going to allow that and not have problems, that's more of a table problem. And I don't think switching games is going to...
Oh, yeah, no. It's... Yeah, I'm not trying to blame the systems or anything. It's more of a just... make sure people understand what they're getting into and everybody's on the same page, because this can be kind of a tonal shift.
It is a tonal shift, but I would say if that loss of control and agency in a character is not what you're interested or you're afraid of how that's going to be handled at your table, I would borderline suggest another game, because that is like the main horror of werewolf. I mean, even with the rage die, you could go to like help up a friend who's fallen, hit those rage die, and like chuck them through a door. Just like throw them across a room. There
pull
is
them up hard enough it dislocates their
shoulder. The fear of werewolf is losing yourself to the violence. And so if that's going to be an issue at your table, don't play werewolf. Maybe if it's like with vampire, if like drinking blood and taking advantage of people is not something you're comfy with, vampire may not be the game for your table.
That's fair. It's like
I think that this is what that is for werewolf.
Yeah, it's like there might be some certain themes in the just the sheer mechanics of this from what you've explained, where it's like if folks are uncomfy, you might want to just try a one shot a hunter for a bit and then kind of recalibrate after that. So thanks for going over that. I appreciate it.
No, it's an interesting discussion, but I do think that that is the big theme of werewolf. So I would feel weird trying to pull that away too much at a table to deal with one or two problem players when I could just replace them or play something else.
Yeah, I think the mechanic's interesting. I think there's different lore things and story beats you can do with this. Just my only hesitancy would be hey, make sure you have a really solid session zero to go over what the fuck the themes of this are and what these actions will mean. And if somebody is getting a little, like, murder hobo-y, maybe do the storyteller lean in, just like, are you sure?
Well, also, you have to remember there are mechanics in the system for it. Much like humanity, someone doing that would likely be falling into Hogloss.
Yeah.
Which means they're going to be handing their character sheet over soon.
Which is why I'd also just be like, are you sure you want to do that? Because, like, you're going to have to hand me your friend.
Yeah.
Like, at this rate. Like, are you good? Okay, cool.
So there is some balance there. I didn't go deep into the Hirano and Hogloss. We did a whole episode on humanity. Stan, that's like double humanity because it moves in two directions.
Well, instead of having
10 dots
straight across, it's 5 and 5 on top of each other, and they kind of like flux.
It's interesting. It's when we do a follow-up, I think it's something we'll have to cover, but for new players, I don't think it's something you're worrying about on day one. So yeah, it's worth keeping in mind, but like humanity, you'd have to be going for a speed run to hit humanity zero in a one shot or even a short campaign. You know what I mean?
The odds of that happening are so small.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's undoable. John, don't take that as a challenge.
I could play a Tremere.
I borderline.
I'm right here.
Maybe you can remind me, Sarah. I feel like, isn't there a rule where you can't lose like more than one humanity dot per night?
No.
I thought there was like a limit because
you can lose a lot. Because it's the amount of stains you have is how many you can gather.
There,
right?
At least in Vampire, and I'm sorry, we're diatribing a little bit. So there are options where you can lose multiple humanity in a night, but that would involve things like Diablery, embracing somebody, and also failing remorse rolls at the end of the evening. Because even in the act of Diablery, if the rolls don't go well, you could potentially lose all of your humanity. The statistics of that are not, the odds of that happening are very, very low, but not zero. Most people I know lose, because you have the automatic lose one, and I've seen one case where somebody lost a second one in the middle of the process. Thankfully, they did take stains, but they didn't fail the remorse roll at the end of the night. But if they had, they would have lost 3 humanity in a session.
Okay.
So it's doable. Right,
but it's
so
hard.
I just need to go and diabolize as many people as I can in one session.
Why do you want to be an NPC so bad? Just be a storyteller at that rate.
I'm going to be a white
just
by hour 3. Let's go.
Just be a storyteller at that point. Fuck. Anyways. Cycling back into the lunar cycle of werewolf, I believe you have a delirium section, which I'm also very interested about.
Yeah, delirium is really cool. I like this mechanic. It's, I think it gives a better mechanic for some of the things that have been hinted in Hunter and Vampire, but I would honestly take this and just put it in those other games and run them as they are. It's nice. Okay. So delirium is the innate fear humans feel towards werewolves. Delirium is caused from seeing a guru shift, seeing a Kronos form at all, or anything else that might give away their werewolf nature. So it, frankly, if someone's in like Glabra, like that teen wolf state, you might just think they're like a hulking hairy dude. But if they did something crazy with the bonus strength they get from that, you might be like, oh shit, delirium time.
So you see the
you see the teen wolf make a basket from half court.
You see, you
the crowd goes wild.
Yeah.
You initially see the teen wolf and you go, is that a furry thing? And then it takes somebody's arm off and you go, oh no.
God.
Yeah, that's when delirium hits. The human rolls a resolve and composure and reacts as such. There are levels. So on a 1 through 5, success, absolute fear, panicking, curling in a ball, complete catatonic disbelief in what's happening.
So the average amount of success is you're just fucked.
Yeah. 6 through 9 is controlled fear. So running, madly firing a weapon, flipping tables, and hiding.
Could you imagine being so scared to start madly firing a whip it? And you're just like, I'm going to get high as fuck because I cannot deal with this.
I said weapon, but whip it rules.
I love that idea.
I like, well, if I'm going out...
Just we do not encourage that.
I'm gonna say, if you're being attacked by a werewolf and you really want to slow that assault down, hit a whippet.
Yeah, if you want that assault to last like 5 days, not like 5 seconds, get it.
It's the only time. That's the only time I endorse whippets.
If you specifically want to be torn apart by a guru for 5 hours straight.
I'm not here to kink shame, but like, God, fuck, no.
You only get that once.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Now I'm just imagining some fuck-ass vampires got a guy they don't like, and they're just like, oh, I'm going to antagonize this Gru until he goes into Krynos, and then I'm going to force this guy to take a whippet, and I'm going to fucking celerity. Yeah. I'm just like, nightmare.
All right,
nightmare person.
There's one more.
Oh, there's one more.
If you somehow get a 10 success on a resolve and composure.
I'm assuming this
is 10 plus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is resignation. They completely accept what they see and run or fight, but from a pure informed state of mind.
That's a fucking werewolf. I'm gonna shoot it.
It's, oh god, it's the scene from Dusk Till Dawn. It's like, I don't believe in goddamn vampires. Cocks the gun, but I just had to shoot a whole bunch of vampires. But, you know, one of the best performances by that man.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God.
Here, there's an extra step.
Ooh.
So, humans who react with absolute fear, the 1 through 5, completely forget the event, no matter what. Mm. They completely black it out of their mind. They may think that they were drunk or just had a blackout.
That's the craziest dream I've ever fucking seen.
Yeah, not even a dream. They wouldn't remember it at all.
Okay.
You're just like... Oh, no. So, you know those times where you're driving home and you just kind of forget that you're driving?
And then you're just home?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That.
I hate that.
Yeah. Me too. The same is almost always true for those who react with controlled fear. I believe it's ST's choice. They didn't really give a dice pool for that, but...
So, narratively interesting.
Narratively interesting, yes. And those who react in resignation remember everything as normal. So, if you somehow get that 10...
You remember all of it.
It's getting... Yeah, so... I haven't had a chance to run as many Oops All Mortals games as I would like, because I think running Mortals games of World of Darkness is fucking fascinating. But in the vampire games I've run, depending on how you build your characters, 10 plus is not common, but it is not unobtainable.
Mm-hmm.
friends I run game with, any insight roll I do... because I have a giant-ass dice pool and I tend to roll well. But just, if I roll and they're like, oh, would you get, like, 7 successes? Get fucked. And I'm just like, no. But I've also, with that character, gotten like, all right, I'm trying to see how this friend's feeling. Rich. All right, so I got 12 successes.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm so good at reading people. It's a problem.
Also, another note, I specifically said humans. Animals and supernatural creatures such as vamps, mages, and changelings, who they called sorcerers and good folk, aren't affected by delirium, though they're probably scared.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I remembered werewolf Krynos possibly causing frenzy in vampires.
Yes, and for, SD, like, if you're
now.
I would say no. If the vampire book says that you could frenzy when seeing a werewolf, that is still the case, but a frenzy is not a delirium.
Yeah.
That's fair. Okay.
Yeah, I think it would be fair because of just the sheer survival instinct with the beast that if a vampire is somewhere around a werewolf and a werewolf Krynos is, I might just be like, hey, could you guys just give me a quick frenzy check?
That's also important to note with our celerity boy earlier, is that he might also go into a frenzy when the werewolf frenzies.
It would be a fear frenzy of, I gotta go.
In that kind of situation,
mm-hmm.
our little Banu boy here,
yes,
would you give him a bonus to that frenzy check? Because he's probably expecting this to happen.
If he had planned about this, if he had Batmaned, probably, yeah.
Also, I'm imagining a fight where you have a cross-splat game, and if the werewolf... Eventually, I assume they'd get used to it, but the first time the werewolf goes wolf form, just everyone else also ends up frenzying. And, like, wherever they're at is bad.
It's just a bad time.
Love it.
But, yeah. So, there's actually one more note I've got here. Delirium does not work through recordings or any type of electronic transmissions and are recorded as normal. So, So in old times, this is what kept werewolves safe and secret. Nowadays, it specifically notes that it's recorded. There are certain organizations who have recordings of this and know about it. And also that sometimes on social media, you'll see people sharing videos of werewolves and marveling at the special effects.
Right. I assume, well, does Second Inquisition specifically vampires?
They're,
but...
No.
Oh, here's kind of the annoying thing with Second Inquisition, because the Second Inquisition is primarily focused on vampires because okay. that's kind of the nexus that all of those guys have gotten into the supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
But as they're digging for vampires, they're pulling up other bullshit.
And being like, oh, we'll kill it too.
Also, if depending on what branch of the Second Inquisition you're dealing with, especially if they start getting involved with like Society of St. Leopold or any of those older religious mm-hmm. orders, they're going to roll up with scrolls of like, oh yeah, by the way.
Right.
So we'll get into this next time I do a special month. Mm. Hint, hint. But yeah, the Second Inquisition, specifically the organization that was created within the church mm-hmm. to fight vampires back in like near the Dark Ages era of the game, that was primarily hunting vampires, and they would wipe out other supernaturals if they found them, but they were particularly driving out vampires.
Mm-hmm.
What is known as the Second Inquisition, or sometimes the Third Inquisition of today, is a much bigger organization that spans far beyond the church. And so it includes like all supernatural hunters to some degree. So like even in the book that we have, it like the Hunter book,
mm-hmm.
those characters are somewhat included in the Second Inquisition. Anyone who hunts supernaturals anymore is kind of been matrixed together into this governmental, like, horrifying monster.
Yeah, because it's... Hmm. There's a lot of... The Second Inquisition book does a very good job of explaining the different org flows and ops that would be used by Second Inquisition based off of actual ways the governments internationally do the things they're doing, which is great and terrifying. But it is this kind of, like, multi-layered octopus cake of organization and bureaucracy breaking down even to street levels where, like, you have a guy that is paying some dudes to watch a house and the guys who are doing that don't know what the fuck that's about.
Right.
Or they could just be street cops being like, we're watching this house for drug deals.
Drug deals. Yeah. And you fucking, oh my God. Yeah. So,
okay. For some reason, I thought it was like, I mean, I knew that they did other supernaturals, mm-hmm. but for some reason, I thought it was like 85% vampires. And then if we find the other stuff,
you're,
we'll get them.
You're not wrong. I think that was mostly just because we didn't have the other books yet. But as the other books roll out, there's probably going to be more specialized chunks of the Second Inquisition and specialized chunks of hunters.
There's some of that in the back of what I would consider the ST section of W5-2. Mm-hmm. I specifically didn't cover that because I know new players, some players don't like to read the monster manual before they play D&D for the first time kind of thing. So I didn't dive too deep into it.
Yeah.
But if you are an ST and you're interested in that kind of thing, it's in the Second Inquisition book and it's in the old books. There's a whole book for it and it's called Project Twilight, and that's all I'll say for now.
That's unfortunate.
It would be really funny if when...
it's just baseball.
Oh, no, I was going to say if you bleep out what you're actually... I know you're trying to give people actually resources, but it would be really funny if you're like, it's actually... like it's redacted.
I would never do that.
Never. Lies. Not in this economy.
Takes time note stamp.
So that is, I think, my baseline beginner guide to the mechanics of Werewolf. There's some stuff I left out just because the rites can be similar and gifts are kind of similar to disciplines. So I didn't want to retread that ground too much.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe we can do a separate fall episode that's just about those.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the only big thing mechanically I didn't dive into for this. There are also some like ST mm-hmm. mechanics we didn't get into, like there's umbral travel and things like that that are not.
Mm-hmm.
And those, again, basically will boil down to willpower and rage checks, kind mm-hmm. of like how in Vampire, most things boil down to humanity and rouse and hunger checks.
More times than not, you're doing some sort of rouse check or some sort of skill and ability.
Mm-hmm. A lot of those are here too.
Yeah.
So
okay, cool. No, I think that was a good crash course through the mechanical differences. So mm-hmm. hurrah. I appreciate you guys getting us through Werewolf 2 Electric Awoogaloo.
Yeah. It's really fun.
I hate you.
I've been sitting on that for like 20 minutes.
Hate. I'm about to fucking, what is it? Frenzy? Kind Not of. Frenzy. I'm about
frenzy,
to.
Rage.
I'm a frenzy. Yeah, I'm about frenzy. To fucking frenzy.
Let's look it up again.
So if you've heard this and you still have questions, there are things in the book that were confusing, things you want us to follow up on. There's a couple things that I know we said, like, clarification would be cool if I stated wrong. Like, let us know. Maybe in a couple months, we can do, like, a follow-up for proper both episode. Of these two.
If we get the feedback soon enough, we might be able to add a little bookend at the very end of Werewolf Month.
We could do that, or so let us know. We have a feedback channel and a patron channel. I think those would be good for. And then I want to do more werewolf. Werewolf's cool, mm-hmm. and I think people are interested in it. So I think we're going to be sprinkling some wolves in with our other stuff.
I'm glad that the dice are different enough to be like, okay, I'm actually playing a different game, but it's not so different that I'm like, okay, I as a storyteller,
this is a completely
now
system.
Have to memorize four different systems. I guess I'll go fuck myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think we've had some people in the server who said they were letting some players run a werewolf in their vampire game and saying it was pretty good.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would still worry about the chain of frenzying that could happen. But
the conga
other than
line
that,
of death, but it's the conga line of frenzies.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And there's no way safely to, like, anesthetize each other from that. It's just like...
It's like, you know when you have two pets, one of them is new, and so you have to put one in a room and let them bat at each other through the door for like 2 weeks before you just let them both free roam?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
Though that would be very funny. But Zamiti's trying to do that. It's like, I have a werewolf friend. I've been trying to get him socialized. I've had to reinforce that door so many times. I'm such a good host.
And I mean, if you're
keeping him safe.
If you're a vampire player and you're interested in werewolf, but maybe your party doesn't specifically want to play W5, maybe letting a player to add a werewolf to your campaign mm-hmm. could be a good way to dip your toes in and see what you think of it. There's a lot of crossover. And guess what I'm talking about next week for Werewolf 3? We're specifically talking about crossover between vampire and werewolf. We're going to talk about some of the stuff in VW5, and then we're going to talk about old lore, and I have some ideas on ways that you could do that, but...
I'm excited for Werewolf Trinity.
That's just go watch Underworld. That
was a Blade reference!
Oh, yeah, it's Blade Trinity. I don't know, there's like 7 Underworlds now, I don't know all their names.
I gave up.
I've seen like 2 of them, I think.
I think you really only need 2.
I think I have the Blu-ray set that's like the first 3, and even the people who make the movies are like, these are the 3 you want. There you go.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think they went straight to video after a while. I haven't seen them, though,
The most recent one did go to theaters.
Really?
Yeah, but it was like during quarantine, and it was a weird... It's a prequel? But all the costumes look like... weird rave outfits from Y2K, but it was in the medieval period. It was fucking...
I need to see this.
Oh, God.
This sounds
horrifying.
Great.
I mean, nobody morbed, as far as I'm aware, which is good. But yeah, thanks, Paralyzed, for the muzak.
Yeah, thank you.
You can check them out on Bandcamp. Give them some dollary dues.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
thank
we
you.
We do also exist on Blank Bodies Pod on Instagram and Blank Bodies Podcast on TikTok. Please come say hello, and we will try to interact.
Yeah.
As best we can. Speaking of hello and interactions, we have a community Discord.
We do.
Folks hang out there, share art and memes, and I love everybody doing sky tacks and fit checks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for the homies stepping up their drip game. That's always great.
People have been posting cool art. There's a bunch of people running games in there. I think there was a werewolf game for a little bit.
Has been a werewolf game. I know there was like a mage game for a while. This went completely under the radar. There was a secret mage game.
A secret mage game, as mages would do. There's been plenty of vampire. There's been Deadlands, Savage Worlds, all kinds of stuff.
I know folks have been diving some hells.
Oh, yeah. A lot of video game playing.
Yeah. So come hang out. If you want to support us, we do have a Patreon. You can donate some dollary dues to help us invest in research material and cool stuff. We got stuff in the works, hopefully for the summer.
Yeah,
cool things.
We got a bunch of cool stuff planned, but if you do join our Patreon, we have Discord titles. You can vote on polls for our next episode. Our next clan poll for Vampire Clan should be wrapping up on our Patreon today, actually. So, yeah. But we're recording this before today that you're hearing it, so I don't actually know the answer yet. But the answer is known to our patrons who look at the poll today.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you for helping us select what I am going to be studying.
Yeah, thank you.
And what voting. I'll glance at some books about.
And what I'll, depending on what you vote for, scream about.
Yeah, John, depending on what you guys vote for, John is either going to have to throw his entire bussy into it, or he's just going to sit on the side and have opinions.
I mean, either way, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, that's fair.
But one of them I'm going to have to...
People have standards. They'll want your input.
So vote for Ravnos if you want to hear that.
The poll is closed.
Oh, yeah. But you should have voted for Ravnos if you want to hear that. And if you did, good job you.
We'll see what happens with the poll, because I'm still like, I was not expecting our first non-Camarilla Tower clan poll to go to Salubri immediately.
The one that there's nothing on.
We got the hard one out of the way. There was a lot, though.
There was so much. Turns out.
That's going to be hard because there's nothing.
We were worried for about a day.
I was not worried. I was like, okay, I know it's going to be like, I was aware there wasn't going to be a lot of like, the clan does this because they die. But I was like, I knew there's going to be like.
That's kind of their whole function.
Yeah, but I was aware that there was going to be like a decent amount of plot and whatever. And then it was just this fucking magician scarf that just wouldn't stop. I kept pulling on it. Into just World of Darkness confirming all of my Saulot conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How it do.
We'll see what happens with the other votes. Appreciate your support. We also have interview series that we're going to be trying to shout out folks in the community and share their cool stuff. And if you want to share your cool stuff, message us at blankbuddies@gmail.com.
We like
want
to talk to you. If you're a vampire.
Yeah, if you're a vampire, if you have actual play troops, if you write and produce stuff for gaming communities, do music, art, we want to share your cool stuff.
I think we can expand it now that we've done these episodes. If you're a werewolf,
we'll do a video call.
We always do a video call, though. That's
the thing.
Yeah, but
with a vampire, I've said multiple times, I'll meet you in person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fair. You will.
I will. I will not do that for a werewolf. Sorry, guys. I'll do a video call.
I'll meet a werewolf during the day.
They can still change.
It's less likely because they haven't howled at the moon yet because there is no moon.
I'm not worried about it. I'm delightful.
That's true.
No.
I can look outside and see the moon sometimes. Does that count?
What?
If you're in the middle of the day, you know how sometimes in the middle of the day you can look up at the sky and see the moon?
Mm-hmm. I'd allow it.
If you howled at that moon?
Yeah.
Does it count?
I'd allow it, but it wouldn't count again that night.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, okay.
It would still be in the same 24-hour
cycle.
Yeah.
I would mostly do it just because I think it'd be really funny to watch people like in the middle of the Target deal with your nonsense of you howling at the sky
there,
in the middle of
the
like 4 p.m.
What bougie ass Target, even for a Target, has a skylight that you're looking at the moon?
You could be in the parking lot.
Yeah, you're in the park. You're about to leave the Target. You don't want to get rage going in the Target. You're about to leave the Target.
Just look at the price tags and you'd frenzy.
Well, that's why you definitely don't want to add rage to that pool. You get out in the parking lot.
You went to the Target to go get rage, and it wasn't quite enough because it was
Wednesday. Turns out they had some killer sales, actually.
Yeah, actually, those like really cute fucking shirts that you're looking at, they were in.
On sale?
Yeah.
And in your size.
Fuck,
man. So you go outside, you see the moon, you just go, bow! Yeah, I think the people at Target would be like, security? We have a man howling in the middle of the road.
I don't know. Once you're in the parking lot, they kind of get hands off as long as you're not hurting anyone.
That's
I think
true, actually.
If you're doing it in the store, they might call security. If you're leaving, they don't care. They just want you to go.
No, it's just the other civilians in the parking lot.
Yeah.
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 Anyway.
Yeah,
goodbye.
Anyway. I love you. Goodbye.
Mwah. It was so wet.
It's rage.
It was an angry kiss.